We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Brian Geltzahler is with us from SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV as well, and he's with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Brian, I think this is going to be a really hard-fought, long series, Cavs-Celtics, and I'm picking the Cavs in six, somewhat long. My partner thinks it's going to be a walk in the park for the Cavs.
Sweep City, Geltz. Sweep City, baby.
Where are you? Where do you come in on this, Brian?
It's very interesting. I just come with a conversation with somebody on a totally unrelated topic.
Yeah.
But what I said to the guy at the end of the conversation applies here. When I was a sophomore in high school playing JV basketball at West Orange High School in West Orange, New Jersey, in 1985, I fell for the same backdoor play twice in a row in practice. And the coach gathered the whole team at center court and looked at me and said, this is the most valuable lesson anybody's ever going to teach you in life. You step in dog poop once, it's a dog's fault. You step in it twice, and it's your fault. Let me tell you something. I've been underestimating these Celtics the entire time through. I figured they'd get out of the first round. I didn't think they had a chance against Philadelphia in the second round. And they not only proved me wrong, they proved me wrong decisively. And who they are and what they do defensively is very, very special. And I will say this, guys, and you guys know from having Kyrie Irving there the amount of time that you had him there. He is such a gifted special offensive player and willing to take big shots and a guy that can carry offensive load in a way that very few can. But when you don't have him on the floor, you're stronger defensively. When you put a better defender in Terry Rozier out there instead of him, and when Rozier's on the bench, Marcus Smart is playing that role, they don't have to hide anybody defensively. And their big issue, the Boston Celtics, is, well, without Kyrie, where are you going to get buckets? And they managed against Philadelphia, which is an elite-level defense, guys. They managed to manufacture buckets in spots they need them, whether it was Horford, whether it was Tatum, whether it was Rozier. You saw Jaylen Brown in Game 5. Go 10 of 13 from the field. They found a way to find offense when they needed it. When you look at this Cavs team and look at what they did against Toronto, listen, they're a superb offensive team. And although the team that we've seen defensively through two rounds of the playoffs is a better version of the team that was the second worst defensive team in the NBA this year, there's still no defensive juggernaut. So I look for Boston to hang in this series. In the end, what's going to be the difference? What's always a difference? Too much LeBron. No one has an answer for him. The Celtics certainly don't have an answer for him. I think LeBron will be the reason that the Cavs win this series in six. So that was a long-winded way of me saying I agree with you, Adam.
Yeah.
I think the Cavs get it in six. But I do think we're going to have some very, very interesting moments in this series where we look at the Celtics in a very competitive situation, sticking right there hand-in-hand with the Cavs.
Brian, do you think the Celtics are better without Kyrie Irving? I mean, the way you say
no.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I do not. And let me make that clear. And Dustin, thank you for asking the question that way. I do not think they're better without Kyrie Irving. Because, again, those offensive shortcomings and the way they have to kind of doing it offensively with smoke and mirrors. And I don't mean that as a disrespect to Tatum, Horford, or Rozier. But none of those guys in a big spot late in the shot clock are Kyrie Irving. And so you have a guy like Kyrie Irving who can dominate things. I will tell you this. Your time without Kyrie Irving here is going to make them a lot better when Kyrie comes back in two ways. Number one, Tatum and Brown, to a little bit of a lesser extent, are going to have a lot more confidence as being guys that can carry the load. Secondly, one thing we know about Kyrie is he's no dummy. Kyrie, he's different than John Wall. John Wall watched his team play great in his absence, moving the ball around, and still came back and massaged it for 20 seconds of the 24-second shot clock after possession. Kyrie Irving's not going to do that. Kyrie Irving's going to see what these other guys did, and he'd love the help. He'd love the help offensively. So getting Irving back is going to give them that priceless go-to guy that's so few teams have on the offensive end of the floor. And listen, this is a team that successfully hit Isaiah Thomas 2 years ago, systemically in terms of how they play defense. Hiding Kyrie is not going to be all that hard. It's just, it allows you to play elite-level defense to not have to hide him. But there's no doubt in my mind they're a much better team with Kyrie. And listen, you may have the type of title contender that could really give Golden State the kind of run that I'm not sure the Cavs or even the Rockets this year could give them when you get the Celtics healthy out on that floor next year with Irving and Hayward, you know, and this same group that they have.
Brian Geltzahler is with us, SiriusXM NBA Radio, HoopsCritic.com. Brian, you know, Terry Rozier, you mentioned, he's a local kid here, and he has really emerged as a star, at least in the playoffs. Now, will that continue in his career? We shall see. LeBron today said he knew it, that he thought Rozier was going to be a star. Did anybody else know he was going to be this good?
Hey, let me ask you a question, Adam. Are we believing that LeBron actually thought that?
I don't know, man. LeBron is a basketball savant. It's hard to go against him.
This is also the guy that pushed Pat Riley to draft Shabazz Napier. It's the same guy that endorsed signing J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson all that money. I mean, fair is fair. Sometimes hindsight can be 20/20. Listen, Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier has put the Celtics in a really bizarre situation. Because here's the thing. So you're paying Horford now for the next 2 years, $28 million a year. You're paying $28 million a year to Gordon Hayward, okay? Kyrie's going into the last year of his deal at that $20 million a year figure. He's due for a bounce up into the 30s, okay? They're going to have to be, if they want to be able to keep this team together, we're talking about paying a lot of tax. Marcus Smart's a restricted free agent at the end of the year. You guys just saw what Marcus Smart did in this series. If you're the Celtics, forget if you have Kyrie or not. You want to go to battle in the playoffs without Marcus Smart? I don't. Yeah. I mean, Marcus Smart's as unique a player as there is in the league in that his value doesn't show up on any stat sheet whatsoever, but he's as valuable a guy as you'll see, just from what you saw in the last minute of Game 5 against Philly. And then you factor in Terry Rozier. Now, Terry Rozier's not going to be playing 35 minutes a game when Kyrie comes back, yet he's a 35-minute-a-game type of point guard. And you put him out in the open market, his value can be absolutely enormous. I actually think we may see a situation this summer where they make a meaningful move to trade Terry Rozier to a team that needs him and bring back a package that has some picks in it. Because for the Celtics here, one of the great benefits they have, think about this for the Celtics right now, okay? They have $48 million of $100 million cap on the shelf, okay? And one of the guys that's on the floor as part of the $52 million that is actually being paid to players that play is making 28 of it, over half of it, okay? If they are cashing in on these rookie-scale deals. Yep. Brown, Tatum, Rozier, Smart, okay? If you have confidence in your program and your drafting ability, and there's no guys that, A, have a better track record, or, B, have more confidence than Danny Ainge and Mike Zarin, that you would want to say, you know what, if I turn around and to not have to be that deep in the tax, trade Rozier for a valuable pick or two, and know that I can now financially get guys that will contribute to my program in a meaningful way on rookie scale deals instead of having to go well into eight figures for both Rozier and Smart. You got to pick one or the other, and who's going to have more value in the open market? Terry Rozier. Yeah. Because Marcus Smart, you got to pay this year. Rozier, you get another year left on the rookie scale deal before you have to pay him big. That will certainly help his trade value. So I'd be surprised that both those guys were back with the team next year. The other thing they can do is sign Smart and commit themselves to trading Rozier. But I'll also say this, once you sign Smart, your offers to Rozier are going to be a lot less because teams are going to know that eventually, unless Wick Grousebeck and Steve Pagliuca want to go really deep into the tax, you're going to have a lot of pressure on you to trade Terry Rozier at that point. But again, I'd be surprised to see Rozier. He may be back next year for a time, but with this team long term, I don't think that's going to happen.
Brian, how much better are the Cavaliers with a healthy George Hill?
Oh, so much better. You know, because here's the thing. First of all, LeBron to help this team in the best way he can help this particular group, he's got to score, guys. This is not just set up LeBron. LeBron has to be a cold-blooded assassin, and that's what he was against the Raptors. But for him to be the cold-blooded assassin, see, one of my complaints with these recent versions of the Cavaliers is that your answer to every question, where are we getting this from, where are we getting that from, has been LeBron, 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 LeBron. Well, as great as he is, and he is unbelievably great, you can't have to win a title, he can't be the guy that does everything. He can't be your main ball handler, main scorer, main rebounder, main defender. He can't be your main all of that. When George Hill is on the floor, you have a guy that can take ball handling responsibility away from LeBron James. And although George Hill's not the most creative playmaker in the world, he's a capable ball handler, he's a decent shooter, he's a good defensive player, and he's a stabilizing influence out there and gives LeBron on somebody just to help get him the ball in the spots that he likes. So I think George Hill, his return to this lineup, there's no coincidence they kind of exploded in Game 7 against Indiana and then turn around and do what they did against Toronto right after George Hill enters the lineup back healthy, doing his thing. A really, really important player to this team.
We're talking with Brian Geltzahler from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Brian, you know, Kevin Love is another guy who got off to a terrible start in the postseason. Last three games against Toronto, he played great. And even the much maligned by you just now and by me quite often, J.R. Smith has played pretty well this postseason after a terrible, terrible year. Kyle Korver as well. Of those guys who we haven't mentioned yet, who do you think has been the biggest factor for the Cavs?
Believe it or not, and I'm going to get to Kevin Love in a minute.
Yeah.
I actually think it's been JR, Adam. I think you're absolutely right, dude. Because here's the thing about JR. How well is he defended in these first two series?
Done a great
Forget
job.
About everything else, man. You need a guy that's willing to get his butt down and guard tough players. And in the first round, it was Victor Oladipo. In the second round, it was DeMar DeRozan. Okay, these aren't nobodies. These are all NBA-caliber guys that JR is making work hard and forcing it to inefficiency. And listen, granted, with Oladipo, did he have double-team help? He had a ton of double-team help. But it didn't matter. He did his job, and he did his job really well. Here's the other thing with JR. He's not forcing anything. So he's, you know, he had one game where he played terrific defense, played 31 minutes, and took two shots. Is that, I mean, does somebody have a JR Smith mask on another guy? I mean, that's not the JR Smith we knew, but this is he is bought into a role with the understanding of this is what it's going to take to win. So I've been so impressed with his willingness to do that. Kevin Love, you know, here's the thing about Kevin Love. One thing has not waned with him, even when the scoring and the shot have been a struggle for him, and that's his effort on the glass and his effort defensively. He has had a massive, massive effort on both ends. And although Kevin Love is far from a gifted defensive player, his effort has really helped a ton for them. He's played great on that end of the floor. And I say great, I mean as great as Love can play on that end of the floor because he's limited. He just doesn't have good lateral movement. He's been a force on the glass. But the other thing with him is this. He hasn't pressed offensively when he hasn't had it. He's maintained that unselfishness aspect to his game. He's set other people up, and I've been incredibly impressed with him. And then Kyle Korver, listen, that LeBron-Kyle Korver pick and pop is a little bit of a bizarre type of two-man set, but it's worked wonders just because you really, once LeBron gets a pick, you got to worry about switching on him. And for Kyle Korver, if LeBron holds the ball long enough, you know, either he's going to get to the bucket and you got to bring somebody. As soon as you leave Kyle Korver, he's in the exact right spot. And Kyle Korver's doing what he's done all these years. And the other thing is this for Korver is he's not a good defensive player at all. He's worked hard on that end too, where it's been they haven't had to hide him a ton. And that's been a big contributor. That's the common theme here, is that the one thing the Cavaliers have done through the first two rounds of the playoffs, their main guys have all busted it defensively. And although they'll never be a great defensive team, having that team effort, working together, is something that's really been – they didn't have it most of the regular season. Getting it here in the playoffs has been really terrific. And you look at Smith and Love and Korver, these are three guys that despite whatever they do offensively, they've been doing it on a defensive end.
Brian, did the Raptors do the right thing firing Dwayne Casey?
Hell no, man. What an injustice. A bunch of garbage, if you ask me. Hell no. You want to know something? Okay, this guy, the same group of players, he upgraded 8 wins from 51 to 59. He had them play an entirely different offensive style this year. He put them in a wonderful position. Okay, did he do everything right in the playoffs? Nah, he didn't. But you know what? He did it his way. And what he did in Game 3, leaving DeRozan on the bench, took guts. It was the right move. It was the right decision. And quite frankly, if LeBron doesn't hit a crazy runner, they end up potentially winning that game, and it's a different series. Listen, Game 1 didn't go well, but we're really firing Dwayne Casey because Jonas Valanciunas missed 4 tip-ins. I mean, it's the whole thing is so crazy to me that he did what he did, transform this team, and the narrative is so lazy. Oh, same scheme over and over again, same game plan. Garbage. He mixed things up. He came there each and every training camp with a new plan on how guys needed to improve, even with the same players. And I do think, listen, I think some of this is the fact, and I like Masai Ujiri a lot as a general manager, does an excellent job. And he's definitely restricted by some of these contracts that he signed guys to. But you know what? You really should have given it a chance to change this mix a little bit. There are a couple things they can do coming up in this offseason, but they felt they needed a fall guy here. And Dwayne Casey OKC was the wrong fall guy. This is garbage. It really is. This is a guy that did a fantastic job. This is a blight on the coaching industry that Toronto would go ahead and do this. And again, I put some of it on Ujiri. I put a lot of it on ownership too. Because you know what? Dwayne Casey serves your franchise for the amount of time he did, as well he did with the success level he had with the class. And I get you want to win in the playoffs, but at one point or another, when do we play some of this stuff on the players' feet? A good man, okay, who's a great coach, did a really good job for a lot of years with this team, ends up out of a job today, okay, because players don't do it the way they're supposed to do it. It's a sad day in Toronto. It really is.
Brian, great insight, man. Thanks as always.
Always my pleasure, guys. Take care.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.